Stand together for the reading of the Word of God in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look into the Word of God. I pray that our souls would be fed by the truth of your Word. God, bring forcefully to our mind the wonders of your Son, Jesus. And help us, Lord, to be worshipers, true worshipers of the Lord. I pray, Father, for that soul among us who has not yet surrendered their heart and life to Jesus. This would be the day, Lord, you'd make a difference in that life. Lord, for those who have been lukewarm, I pray that you'd build a fire in that heart. May we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on the seed of Abraham. God promised him in verse 3, among the seven promises here, this is the seventh promise given to Abraham. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is a marvelous promise that was given unto Abraham when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he repeated this promise to him when Abraham had gotten stuck in Haran, and God let him know, this is not where I wanted you to stop. I want you to go to the land of Canaan. He repeated the promise to him that God would bless him and that in the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed, so that the seed of Abraham would affect all the nations of the world. And I want to demonstrate this morning in this message that Jesus was that promised seed of Abraham, and that the world has been blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is the seed of Abraham that would bless all the families, all the nations of the earth. Jesus is that promised seed of Abraham. And when you look back from the birth of Christ, we see clearly that Christ fulfilled God's promise to Abraham. That promise was made to Abraham. It was repeated to his son Isaac. It was repeated to Isaac's son Jacob. In thy seed shall all nations of the world be blessed. Jacob prophesied over his son Judah in Genesis 49 and 10 and said, The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. This was another prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus. He would be the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah. And right on down the line, God pinpointed the family that the Messiah would come through. Messiah would follow a direct line from Abraham through Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. When you open up the New Testament, the first verse in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 says, The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. The son of David, the son of Abraham. So it gives to us immediately the lineage of Jesus through Abraham. Actually, there are two genealogies given to us in the Gospels concerning Christ. One is in Matthew 1, the other in Luke chapter 3. It is believed that one is the genealogy of Joseph and one the genealogy of Mary, because they depart after David. And the one in Luke is believed to be that of Mary. But both of them trace the bloodline of Jesus back to Abraham through Judah and Jacob and Isaac. proving that Jesus is the seed of Abraham. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was the seed of Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16 it says, "For verily he," that is Jesus, "took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." So very clearly in the New Testament, Jesus is declared to be the seed of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham. Now the birth of Jesus demonstrated the accuracy and the reliability of the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus said in John 10:35, "The scripture cannot be broken." His birth just was one of those confirmations of the fact that God has spoken to us in the Bible, and what the scriptures say, God says. And when God said, "I'm going to give a seed of Abraham, and the Messiah is going to come through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah," God fulfilled that promise. When Jesus was born, he directly fulfilled the promise given to Abraham. The word of God will come true. And not just the prophecies concerning Christ, but everything this Bible says is absolutely true. You can trust what God has said in his word. The relationship of Jesus to Abraham really demonstrated the mystery of his person, because Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. You'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Jesus both preceded Abraham and descended from Abraham. How about that? How do you do that? This is the mystery of the being, the person of Jesus Christ. He preceded Abraham and he descended from Abraham. He told the Jews in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." In other words, Abraham had some insight that Messiah was coming, and that Messiah would be the seed of Abraham, and he rejoiced to see the day of Christ coming. He was glad of it. And Abraham recognized the implications of God's promise. But now Jesus also told the Jews in that same context in verse 58, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Hallelujah. Oh, glory. "I came from him, but I preceded him." Hallelujah. This is the mystery of the person of Jesus. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifested in the flesh. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. So he preceded Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. But he's also the seed of Abraham, because he is 100% man and 100% God. He's not 50% man and 50% God. He was 100% man and 100% God, combined in one person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. The source of Abraham and the seed of Abraham. The root of David and the offspring of David. The source of Abraham and the seed of Abraham. This is the mystery of the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And secondly, I want you to see that Jesus impacted the world, the whole world, in a positive manner. "In thy seed," in the seed of Abraham, "all the families of the earth would be blessed." He would affect the whole world. The promise that was given to Abraham provided hope in a world that had just experienced catastrophe. The flood was in recent history. And not long before the promise was given to Abraham, God had scattered all men upon the face of the earth, scattered the families of men upon the face of the earth, confounded their language at Babel, and scattered them upon the face of the earth. And after this scattering, God comes to Abraham and says to him, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you a seed that's going to bless all of these scattered families of the earth. The judgment of God has fallen, but in the midst of that judgment, there is a message of hope. There is a seed that's coming that is going to bless all of those scattered families of the earth. My, my, what a wonderful promise God gave to Abraham. What hope sprang from this promise that through his seed, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. In the midst of this misery, God spoke of mercy. All the families of the earth will be blessed. And this promised blessing through the seed of Abraham would be provided by the cross. The Bible tells us that we were all cursed by the law. By the law was no man justified. And because of the law, every mouth would be stopped and all men become guilty before God. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In order to be saved, the law demanded perfect obedience. But since nobody could give perfect obedience to the law, nobody could be saved by the law. It condemned us and cursed us because of our disobedience and our sin. But the good news of the gospel is found in the same chapter, Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Listen, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We were cursed by the law, but Jesus took our curse in His own body by hanging on that cross, that we might be freed from the curse of sin, and that the blessing of Abraham might come on us who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the blessing promised to Abraham would come through the cross of Jesus Christ. And it would result in a radical reshaping of our affections. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, Peter is preaching to the Jews concerning God's promised blessing. Listen to what he said. Unto you first, talking to the Jews, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. God raised up His Son and sent Him to bless you. Now you may not believe that. If you don't have Jesus, if you've not received Jesus, the devil has convinced you that that's not true. But I'm telling you that Jesus came to bless you. In the seed of Abraham would all families of the earth be blessed. And Peter said to you first, to you Jews first, God raised up His Son and sent Him to bless you. But not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, to all families of the earth, Jesus was sent to bless us. Hallelujah. And this is the way He would bless us, in turning away every one of us from His iniquities. That is, that Jesus would take away our appetite for sin, and He would give to us an appetite for holiness and righteousness. As nobody can claim the blessing of Christ while they cling in love to their sin. How in the world do we obtain the blessing of Christ, the blessing of Abraham upon our life? The Bible says in Galatians 3:14 that we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So faith is what brings about the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Christ upon our life. It's been provided by the cross. By faith we appropriate the blessing of God upon our life. And in doing so, God changes our affections so that we no longer love our sins. We love righteousness and holiness. God changes our affections and sets our affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, this is a blessing when God delivers us from the love of sin and gives us a love for God and a love for His Son, Jesus. Gives us a love for righteousness and holiness. Faith is what appropriates that blessing. Faith accepts God's word as being true, and it acts in obedience to the word of God. James 1:25 says, we studied this in Sunday school last week, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." Listen to this. "This man shall be blessed in his deed if he is not a forgetful hearer of the word, but he puts it into practice in his life. This man shall be blessed in his deed." I'm telling you, Jesus came to bless us. The famous atheist, Christopher Hitchens, died Thursday night of complications from cancer. He was 62 years of age, famous on both sides of the ocean, born in Great Britain, transplanted to America. In 2007, Hitchens wrote a book titled it, "God Is Not Great." And in this book, he reviled the Bible, blasphemed the revelation of God in the Bible. He was a man that rejected faith. He enjoyed his drink, according to the Roanoke Times, enough to kill or stun the average mule. And he loved his cigarettes. And according to that same article in the Roanoke Times yesterday, Hitchens lived to satisfy the appetites of his body, abstaining from clean living as if it were just another kind of church. He told the story of Hitchens going skiing at Aspen in 2005, and after stepping off the ski lift, he was greeted by a young lady with a silver tray offering him a drink. When she asked Hitchens what he'd like to drink, he asked for some alcoholic beverage. And the young lady objected. She said, "At this altitude, the alcohol would be much more toxic than at ground level." And Hitchens said, "In that case, make it a double." This is the kind of life that he lived. A life of pleasure. A life self-centered. And it was likely due to this unrestrained behavior that he was twice married. When Hitchens contracted cancer, he was asked if he would recant his blasphemous statements and pray to God. He replied, "If you hear of me repenting, you will know that this disease has robbed me of my right mind." And as far as we know, Hitchens never repented. Hitchens sinned boldly. He did not believe he was accountable to Christ or anybody else. He rejected faith. Now, Hitchens has heard the verdict for all eternity. Jesus' fatal words, "I never knew you." But there are many who are not atheists, who profess faith in Christ, who sin boldly, just like Christopher Hitchens. And if sin is defined as knowing to do good and doing it not, then there are many who are not atheists who live as if they were atheists. They live, they sin boldly. They have little or no loyalty to the Church of Jesus Christ, no interest in searching the Scriptures to learn the commands of Christ, no intentions of keeping the commands of Christ, satisfied to be a religious sinner. But there's more to salvation, brother, than just being a religious sinner. There's more to salvation than just occasional bursts of piety. Bursts of piety framed by periods of pouting, rebelling, griping, throwing pity parties, and excusing our sins. Christ came to bless us. I tell you, He came to bless us. He came to change us on the inside. He came to give us new affections. Came to give us a new life, a new direction in life. He restored us to divine favor and spiritual power. On the sixth day, when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says that God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the earth." God blessed them in the beginning, and they forfeited that blessing through sin. But now hear me now. Don't let me lose you. Hear me now. God has restored the blessing to us in Jesus Christ through the seed of the woman, as I preached to you last week, and through the seed of Abraham. God has restored to us the blessing that we forfeited in the beginning. God blessed Adam and Eve. They forfeited the blessing through sin. But Jesus has come to bless us, to restore to us the blessing of God. Oh, I want to tell you, brother, when Jesus gets a hold of our life, when the blessing of the Lord comes upon our life, He makes us righteous. He causes us to love holiness. And the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." Blessed are those people. Happy are those people whose appetites have been changed, who long for holiness, who have an appetite for righteousness. Those people are blessed and happy. Is that the appetite of your heart? Or is there still an appetite for sin? Do you still excuse your sin? Do you still love your sin? Or has Jesus blessed you and turned you away from your sin? This is what Jesus came to do. He came to provide for our needs, to bless us. When God blessed Adam and Eve, I want to tell you something, brother. He supplied every need they had. When they were put in that Garden of Eden, they didn't lack anything. And I believe it's God's will to bless you. I believe it's God's will to open up your heart to Him so that you pay your tithes. And when you pay your tithes, God says, "I'll meet your needs. I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing upon you that you'll not be able to receive." Some of us are afraid to try God. Some of us are afraid to put God to the test. Some of us are afraid that we're going to starve if we put God first. But I'm telling you, there's nobody ever starved trusting in God and putting God first in their life. God came, sent His Son to bless you. Hallelujah. And He will bless you when you put Him first in your life. Oh yeah. I don't believe it's God's will for His people to live in grinding poverty. I don't believe it's God's will to make all of God's people rich and prosperous, but I don't believe it's God's will for His people to live in grinding poverty. Grinding poverty across this world is due to man's sin. But Jesus came to bless us. And He said, "If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these things shall be added to you." Christ will meet your need if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus came to bless us, brother. Oh yeah. Hallelujah. Now you leave in here. Say that preacher's gone off on that prosperity doctrine. I ain't gone off on that prosperity doctrine. But I have found Christ to be true to His word, brother. When you put Him first, He will look after His people. David said, "I once was young, I now am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I believe Jesus will take care of those who put Him first in life. He came to bless us. He came to provide healing for our bodies. He bore in His own body our sins. He bore in His body our sicknesses on the cross of Calvary. Jesus provided healing for our bodies. I believe He's still the healer. Hallelujah. When we pray to Him for healing, I believe by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We're healed in our soul. We are healed in our bodies. Jesus has provided healing for us through the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't believe that healing is in the atonement in the same way that our salvation is. I know that it's God's will for all men to be saved and forgiven. It's not God's will for all men to be healed. Yet, there will be a time that we'll all be healed. Hallelujah. And it'll come through the cross of Jesus Christ. There'll be a time when there'll be no sickness. There'll be no dying. There'll be no tears. There'll be no pain. There'll be no sorrow. And it'll come through the cross of Jesus Christ. We don't all have that right now. But it's on the way, brother, because Jesus came to bless us. Hallelujah. And we get a taste of it ahead of time sometimes now when Jesus lays His hand on us and rebukes the sickness in our bodies and heals us ahead of time. Foretaste of glory. Oh, I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ came to bless us. Praise the Lord. And one reason I think that we don't see more healings is we don't ask for them more often. Hallelujah. If any is sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. He said, confess your sins one to another. Pray ye one for another, that you may be healed. I believe that Jesus still heals. Hallelujah. I believe that Jesus still provides satisfaction for the soul. Praise God. I believe you can be holy and happy. Oh my, I don't believe you can be happy without being holy. Not continually. I know there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I'm telling you, if you want to be continually joyful in your heart, then you must be holy. You must accept the rule of Jesus in your heart and life. Being saved is not just, coming up and signing a card. Being saved is not just asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Being saved is opening up your heart and getting off the throne and letting Jesus sit on the throne of your heart and let Jesus rule in your life. He sets up His kingdom in your heart. Jesus rules in your life. He came to bless you. Many of you are perhaps like the hippie I picked up years ago when I was a young man, driving down the road, long-haired hippie. Pack on his back. And I stopped and picked him up and took him down the road and talked to him about Jesus. And I told him he needed to turn his life over to Jesus and Jesus would bless him if he'd just give his control of his life to Jesus. And he said, "That's exactly what I don't want. I don't want anybody telling me what to do with my life." And for that reason, perhaps there are some of you that have kept Jesus at arm's length because you don't believe that Jesus will bless you if you'll let Him on the throne of your heart. The devil convinces you that Jesus will rob you of the things that mean so much to you. But Jesus only takes from us those things that curse us. And He blesses us with every good and perfect gift. For every good gift and every gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Sister Judith, if you would come to the piano this morning. Christopher Hitchens said, "God is not great." He wrote a whole book, "God is not great." He made no secret of how he felt about God. Brother, it is a sadder commentary to be saying God is great and living as if God is not great. And I wonder this morning about us right here in this congregation. Are we living as if there's no God? Have we decided in our heart, God is not great? He's not worthy of my loyalty. He's not worthy of my surrender, God is not great. I want to tell you what happens when Jesus comes. Inside, there's a change of attitude. We say, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. And if you haven't come to that point where your heart has been changed, and you can say from your heart, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. God wants to change your heart this morning and help you to escape the affections that have ruined your life. The affections that have bound you to earth and kept you from the blessings of Christ. Jesus came to bless you. I'm going to promise you something. I'm promising you that the Word of God is true. If you'll surrender to Jesus, He will bless you. Let's stand together. The altars are open this morning. I don't know of a better time to get right with God. I don't know of a better time to get a fire kindled in your heart than right here at Christmas time. Jesus loves you, came to bless you. Why not let Him bless you this morning? If you're here in this service and you don't know Jesus, Jesus has come to bless you. He will be born in your heart this morning. If you'll come to this altar, bow in the presence of Jesus, confess your sins to Jesus, and let Jesus into your heart and life. Is that one here in this assembly this morning that sin has burdened your heart? Guilt is heavy upon your mind. You know that if you died this morning, you'd go straight to hell. But Jesus came to bless you, turning you away from your sins. Perhaps there's some here this morning. You fooled around with sin, fooled around with the devil, been half-hearted toward God. You're not sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven. There's things in your life that cause you to doubt whether or not you'd go to heaven. But Jesus can take that away this morning. And Jesus can free your conscience. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus came to bless all the families of the world. He'll bless you, your family, your descendants, if you'll give Him your heart and life. Is there anybody interested this morning in making a change of direction? Is there anybody this morning that's interested in being blessed by Jesus, receiving what Christ came to give us? My wife will probably tell you over and over again, 1976, Christmas Day, she surrendered her heart to Jesus. Raised in church, playing the piano, thought she was a Christian till she came face to face with death and realized, I'm not ready to meet God. And on Christmas Day, made that surrender to Jesus, and Jesus came into her life, and she's never been the same since. And you won't either. Oh, hallelujah. Because through the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. We're going to wait just a few moments here. If there's a hungry soul, a hungry heart in this service. Myself this question. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the blessing of Christ to come upon every soul in this place. If there's a soul in this place, Lord, living in misery and not knowing your mercy, I pray that you'd help them to understand that there's somebody knocking at their heart, somebody that wants in, somebody who will turn them away from their sins, turn them to righteousness and holiness. Lord, I pray that the work would be done this very day. For today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Father, don't let this soul wait another day to make that choice, to make that decision. Come out of darkness and into marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you for your presence in this service. Thank you for those who've come to hear the gospel. Pray your blessings upon each one. Ask you to give each one mercies in this Christmas season. Lord, provide for the needs of your people. We'll give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.